and know how to turn the stops. Chuck, who knows what a prediction method is and how it works? Okay, so that's probably like more than half. So I'll skip through this. So if I'm going too fast on anything, auto stop, let me know, and I go faster or slower. Okay, so basically, for those who don't know, so first question, what actually is a prediction market? A prediction market is a market on any event in the future that is to the result of which is unclear as of yet. So basically, this is an example. So here the question is, will the air train in Manhattan be repaired by July of 2020? And then there are two answers that you need to specify when you set up the market. You also need to specify how you're going to resolve this. So in this case, you're resolving this by saying you are counting on an official press release from the MTA or the office of the mayor of New York. So you have these two outcome tokens, and they trade individually. So at any one time, they add up to one, because basically at the time of resolution, the one that comes true will pay out one, and the other one will not pay out anything. So basically at any time, at any point in time, the sum of these two tokens will be one, and at the resolution time, the market value of these tokens will go towards what the resolution result actually is. So what is a conditional market? So a conditional market is a prediction market that allows trading on assets that are contingent on the results of other predictions. Let me go into that. So we find that in the real world there are many, many examples of things that are actually interrelated. So this is an example. So these three markets, will multi-collateral DAI go live on mainnet by November 18? Will multi-collateral DAI overtake single collateral DAI, and how much DAI is generated with it? And will the stability fee for single collateral DAI go up from today's 10.5%? So these markets, they all work together, because mainnet, as I said, that single collateral DAI will run in parallel with multi-collateral DAI for at least 6 months. So, and clearly the answers, these are all yes-no questions, and clearly the answers of these are correlated with each other, right? So, yes, basically, if you have an opinion on this, this will probably influence your opinion on the other one and the next one. So, we've just put out a new framework for this. So let me explain you how it used to work in the old framework. So in the old framework, you have a collateral token, say for instance Ether or DAI, and you would put it into an event contract. So the event contract here being, for instance, will multi-collateral DAI go live on mainnet by November 18? And then that would have two outcomes, yes and no. Or, you know, this example has three outcomes, A, B, and C. And you can buy the complete set. And then each of these outcomes you can trade individually. So each of these outcomes actually have a price at any one time. You can always take a full outcome set and convert it back into a collateral token, or you can wait until the event is resolved, and then one of these outcomes will pay out one and the other ones will pay out zero. There's a different flavor where basically the one that we call scalar, where basically you can go long or short, and it's not binary whether they pay out one or zero, but they can pay out somewhere between one and zero, but basically the idea is exactly the same. So if you actually had these nested markets, so basically will multi-collateral DAI go live on mainnet by November 18, and will multi-collateral DAI overtake single collateral DAI, what you, in the old framework, what you would have had to do is you would have taken the first event, made a market out of it, so basically you can have answers A, B, and C, and then you can put these outcome tokens into, as a collateral token, into a new event contract. So basically, you instead of putting Ether in here, you put the conditional outcome token, you put the outcome token of the first prediction in as a collateral token, and then you get these derivative tokens. So basically, here the first event has outcomes A, B, and C, and the second event has outcomes short and long. And we end up with six event outcomes, so A and high, A and low, and so on. You may notice that you could also do this the exact other way around. So you could also switch these around, and you could also say, basically now I'll use event two as the first layer, and I get two outcome tokens on the first layer, and then I put this into the second event contract, and I get three outcomes on this layer, so I end up with six tokens again. And if we actually compare these, you'll find that these are exactly equivalent. Basically, the payout function of A and high is exactly the same payout function as high and A. And in this framework, these tokens are not fungible. So they don't, you can't, the system doesn't know that these are actually the same tokens. And this is just for two, separate events. Obviously, this gets way worse if you add more events. So what we actually did is, we did this new framework. It's called the conditional token framework. What actually happens in this is you can specify any number of conditions. So in this case, we would specify two conditions. The first one has three outcome slots, A, B, and C, and the second one has two outcome slots, high and low. And you pick collateral token that you put in, and then you get these crossover. And you can basically that's the only thing. You can now say that you only get one set of outcome tokens. So, what are the conditional token framework mechanics? So, A and high and A are now the same token. You can do a partial redemption. So, basically, if you have a token A and high occurs, so basically high occurs, then basically all the ones that are low, they become void because low didn't happen, and all the ones that were high will become just A and high becomes A, B and high becomes B, C and high becomes C. So you can actually resolve some conditions before other conditions without actually destroying the entire thing. What you can also do is you can buy baskets. So you can say, I would like to buy not A, I would like to buy B and C. You can split positions. So basically, if you already have two specified conditions, say you have A and Y, you can append another condition, say with three outcome slots, one, two, and three, and then you will get A, Y, one, A, Y, two, and A, Y, three. And you can merge positions. So basically, if you have, if you actually hold all of these three now, so you have A, Y, one, A, Y, two, and A, Y, three, you can actually just get your A, Y token back for that. How does it work? So it's actually one, it kind of goes a little bit against the traditional smart contract design school. It's actually just one big smart contract to which anyone can append conditions. So the advantage, the one big advantage of this is that there are tremendous gas improvements, and you can actually see that tokens that should be fungible are fungible because they are identical. So basically, whenever you actually add an event, so a registry entry to this smart contract, you can specify a maximum of 256 outcome slots per condition. And this is permissionless, there are no fees, and anything can be specified as an oracle by the person who actually appends to that contract. So this is something that's out there, it's been audited. You can add your own conditions to that if you choose to do so. So let's go back to this example. So so now you have these three markets, and as we said earlier, these are all yes, no markets. So how many atomic outcomes would there be? Just 2 to the 3, right? So basically, 2 times 2 times 2, so that would be yes, 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 no, yes, no, yes, yes, no, no, and so on. So there's 8. And these 8 atomic probabilities of what is going to happen in the future is actually going to give you, so basically these probabilities, the 8 probabilities of what could happen in the future, these are actually going to be consistent. So basically, if one of these changes, so if, obviously these are correlated, so if multicollateral dye does not go live, multicollateral dye will not overtake single collateral dye either. So basically, if the probability for this changes, then automatically the probability for this changes, depending on how the market actually traded these previously. Let me show you this. So this is, can you guys see this in the back? Fantastic. So basically this is a different example. I'm sorry, I should have used the same. So basically here the questions are, will Britain leave the EU on the 31st of October with no deal? Will a vote of no confidence of Her Majesty's government be passed before the 31st of October? And will there be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland on the 1st of November? So obviously these are, again, iterated. So what you can do now is you can say, I want to have this as yes and this as no. And then it will give you the payout structure. So basically when is this going to pay out? It is going to pay out if this is yes and this is no, and you're going to lose the investment if either the first one is no or the second one is yes. What you can also do is you can also specify this one, so will there be a hard border? Say no. Okay, so what you can also do now is you can make these conditional. So say, now this basically says if Britain leaves the European Union on the 31st of October with no deal, will there be a hard border? So basically, this doesn't make sense though, but will there be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland on the 1st of November? And you can now specify this, and it'll again give you the payout structure. So basically, if this happens, then you've taken a position on this market. But if this doesn't happen, so if the Britain doesn't leave the European Union on the 31st of October with no deal, then you just get a refund on your prediction. So basically you can place a prediction on something that doesn't necessarily happen. So basically it's a contingent thing. So basically this is obviously making a good interface for this. It's super hard just because it's not, I mean, even for a simple prediction market, making a good interface is hard. So this is currently still very much a beta product. Let me go back to talk. So how does this tie into Futaki? So basically, can we do a quick show of hands again? Who knows what Futaki is? Oh, wow, about half again. Fantastic. So basically, Futaki is basically prediction markets for governance. So basically what you do is you create a market on a question that you would like to find an answer on, and you specify a metric for which you would like to optimize your decision. Then you let people trade on this market. And in the end, you actually use this data to make a decision on what you would actually like to do. So this is something that's going to be big in DAOs and other decentralized decision making. And let me give you a concrete example. Okay, so say I have a company, and I have the CEO, and basically the company, we're wondering whether we should fire the CEO. So basically then we find a metric that we would like to optimize for. So here's what will the quarterly revenue be if we fire the CEO or if we don't fire the CEO. That's what we're going to optimize for. We could also optimize for something else. So so say you could optimize for employee happiness, for instance. But we're not going to do that yet. So we let, in effect, what we do is we create two markets. So what is the quarterly revenue going to be given that we fire the CEO, and what's the quarterly revenue going to be given that we don't fire the CEO? And then we see which one of these works out better. And we use this to actually make the decision of whether we should fire the CEO. So here, it turns out that the market believes that if we fire the CEO, the quarterly revenue will go up, so we fire the CEO. People who said, who traded on this other market, so what's going to happen to the quarterly revenue if we don't fire the CEO, they'll just be refunded. And everyone who traded on this market, given that we fire the CEO, they will make a profit or losses based on the quality of their revenue prediction. So why are conditional tokens important for this? So basically, for this kind of decision making, having a consistent view of the future is actually super important. So basically, if you have different contingent events in the future, or different events that are correlated, having one consistent view of the future on which to actually base these decisions on, where basically all information actually feeds into giving you an accurate depiction of the future and probability space, is super important. So basically hallmarks of a useful map of the future and probability space, granularity and consistency. So basically, if one thing is going to change, you actually want everything else in your model to change according to how these things are related, right? Okay, so let me quickly check how much time I have. 4 minutes. Okay, I can do this. The framework that I told you about, the conditional token framework, that's open. Anyone can append to this, anyone can use this. But we've actually built our own application on top of this. So basically, the prediction market is fraught in a regulatory sense. So what we've actually done is we have gotten a license from a financial market regulator to make sure that we don't actually get shut down. Giving you the good things first. So basically, the prediction markets, we can offer them on anything but sport to retail customers, which is super nice. They are non-custodial and fully collateralized. We have a market mechanism that guarantees you liquidity, and it's denominated because obviously having this in a stable asset makes things easier, because otherwise you just conflate two predictions about the future. Okay, so the badge. We have to do AML and KYC because we have this license. There's a 1% trading fee, but this is not really bad. You can request the market if you want, and we are the oracle because basically we are the ones. We have the oracle. We are the oracle on this instance. Why do we take fee? Obviously, because we were started with negative cash flow. And we're regulated in Gibraltar, so basically that that means that we can offer this to anyone in Europe. And most of the world, except for the US and Canada, I'm super sorry, we'll work on that once we have seen that this works in other parts of the world. So the beta went live this week, and you can take part in it if you go to site.pm and sign up. So basically, there's a couple of markets live now, and we started all of them at 50-50 chances. So basically, there's actually quite a lot of money on the table right now if you want to partake. You will have to go through KYC. So basically, you will have to have a scan of your passport, and you cannot be a US or Canada or Chinese citizen. I'm super sorry about this. We're still working on that. But if you're not from one of these three countries, absolutely please do take part. Basically, currently you have markets such as on the price of Ether, the transaction fees on a certain date, and make a stability key. So basically, things within the ecosystem, we will go to other markets. So we're starting with political markets after this. We have Gnosis. We have an ecosystem fund. This round just closed, but there's going to be another one this year. So check that out on GitHub, gnosis.gecko. And we're also looking for a couple of people to join our team. So you can actually check that out on Greenhouse. And thank you guys for your attention. Do you have questions? Yes.
I was looking at those conditionals, and I'm thinking that each additional conditional provides an opportunity for you to have a stuck token because of, do you see what I'm saying? And is that why you have Gnosis reviewing to make sure that there's no obvious?
You mean if there's no way to resolve it?
Yeah, like an unresolvable question.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, what you can do is you can buy up the alternate and then just merge them together again, right? So basically, if you have like an A-B question, you can't resolve it, you can just have both and just strike that off of your your outcome token, right? Because you can also, you can split and merge them even before the things happen if you actually have all the different conditions. Yes, but basically specifying a good oracle and wording it in a way that is sensible makes complete sense. And as a person who actually registers a new token, basically a new outcome token, you can say which conditions you actually subscribe to. So basically that's in your discretion as the person who creates this animated outcome token. But yeah, obviously there's a lot of room for things to not work out if the markets aren't wired correctly.
I have an additional one is, okay, so you have those outcomes. Do you have like expository, like an expansion of that? Because a single sentence describing, I mean, there must be like a very deep description underneath that, right?
Yeah,
so it's for, you know, you want something that everyone can understand, whether, but then it's like the deep description, exactly. The small print, right?
Yes, so you're completely right. Basically, it's in effect, it's like a little contract that actually tells you how things are resolved and where we actually check for these things, and basically on the, so it's a dual question. So on the conditional token framework, anyone can specify their own oracle, so basically that's on them. On the conditions that we register, yes, there's kind of like a, it's literally like a contract that actually says under which conditions this will resolve, and you also have to make sure that it will resolve in any case, right? Because, yeah, so it's, yeah, absolutely. Very good question. Jeff?